Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time for Two Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson countyhyundai.com, and welcome in Jay Morrison, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals for The Athletic. Jay, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate you being with us. So, Jay, I would imagine that Joe Burrow mania is sweeping the city of Cincinnati after their first playoff win in 31 years. What's kind of the vibe like in the city right now with what the Bengals have been able to pull off this year?
Oh, they're going to the Super Bowl and they're going to win it. There's no doubt about it. The 31-year curse is over, and it flipped just like that. And it is. It's really weird. It's gone from waiting for that other shoe to drop at every instance to now they can't be beat and they're on their way. This is the fan base. Obviously, the team isn't in that mold yet, but it is. It's been remarkable. You kind of saw this building last year, and the offense was really coming into its own with Joe at the helm, and then the injury happens and it everything resets, and it's been impressive to watch. I think I was with everybody else thinking this was kind of the climb year to get to respectability and around 500, and the playoff window would really open next year, and they've just accelerated everything.
So why is that, Jay? Obviously, they made some good improvements on defense. I still feel like they've got work to do on the offensive line. I mean, I guess the thing that comes to mind first to me is that Jamar Chase is a freak. But is it that simple? You add him to the mix, and now it's just like the offense just takes off? Or is there some more maybe underrated moves that have been a part of this too?
Yeah, I mean, it's Jamar really unlocking this offense with what he can do as far as a deep threat and just being explosive even when he catches underneath. And it's not like they didn't have receivers, but when you add him to the mix with a T. Higgins and a Tyler Boyd, who are second-round picks, you've got a really elite receiving core now. And we all know what Joe Burrow is, but the defense has really come a long way. We talked about it all offseason where if they could just get to average, because they've been at the bottom of the league for three or four straight years, and it was just get this group to average, and you look at what this offense has, and it could really take off, and that's what they've done. They're number five in the league against the run. That's a little misleading. It's more of a volume stat, but they went out and they spent wisely in free agency. This team has never spent in free agency. In the last 2 years, they've set franchise records for amount of dollars spent in free agency, and it's all been focused on defense. And they went out and got cornerbacks Mike Hilton and Chidobe Awuzie at reasonable prices, and they've really kind of helped that pass defense. They got Larry Ogunjobi from Cleveland, who unfortunately suffered a season-ending ankle injury last weekend, but he really helped transform that defensive line, along with Trey Hendrickson, who led the team in sacks this year. They just a lot of kind of mid-range guys, but the thing was they were leaders, and they were guys that had experience advancing in the playoffs, guys like Von Bell with the Saints, DJ Reader with the Texans. And so I think it was just kind of building a culture in addition to stacking talent and then letting the offense play off of that and just take off.
Jay Morrison from The Athletic on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration. So, Jay, obviously, we've been talking a lot about this matchup this week, and we spent a lot of time talking about Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and the receivers that Cincinnati has. Meanwhile, there's Joe Mixon, who's rushed for 1,200 yards and who's a big threat out of the backfield as well. How important is Joe Mixon to what this team does offensively?
He is very important, but it's been less so lately. They came out of the bye at midseason and were really leaning on Joe Mixon. And there was a point in the San Francisco game where they got down close to the red zone in overtime after Burrow leads this miraculous comeback. And Zach Taylor, the head coach, calls Mixon runs on first and second down, they go nowhere. Burrow gets sacked on third down. They kick a field goal, and then San Francisco answers with a touchdown to win the walk-off in overtime. And from that point on, they kind of came to the realization that as good as Joe Mixon is, they're going to go as far as Joe Burrow can take them. There's no more protecting him from himself. He led the league in interceptions through the first half of the year. There's no more protecting him from the knee. That's totally healed. And there's no more protecting him from the offensive line. Yes, he's going to take some hits. He took 51 sacks this year. But they just said, we're just going to let Joe cook. And you've seen this offense really take off the last 4 weeks. The thing is, I think that has helped keep Joe Mixon fresh. And if you need to rely on him in a game, which maybe Saturday might be that case, then he's in a better state. He's not in a freshness state like Derrick Henry is going to be coming back from such a long layoff. But the thing, Joe Mixon is terrific between the 20s. They get that zone scheme run, and he's got great vision, great cutback. They do really seem to struggle when they get in the red zone because it's not a great offensive line. The holes aren't there. They run more power than zone down there. That's where the issue in the run game has been. But if they get right at the goal line, he's a tough guy to stop.
Well, Jay, you talked some about the additions on defense, obviously, and you've written about this, of course. It's been this is the hard part for a team playing a week earlier and then the other team getting a bye, that there's some injuries. Ogunjobi, how big of a loss is that, and how important is the Trey Hendrickson storyline? It appears, I guess, positive, right? If he's on the field yesterday, he's in concussion protocol, but sounds like Zach Taylor feels pretty good.
Yeah,
his potential availability.
Yeah, Trey was limited on Tuesday, which was a great sign. When you're coming off a concussion protocol, you just never know. Some guys play that next week, some don't. The fact that he was back for the first practice of the week is a good sign. Ogunjobi is a big loss. He was terrific this year. Had 7 sacks from a defensive tackle position, but they made a really sneaky move right the week before the opener. They traded Billy Price, their first-round center from 2018, who never really panned out to what they thought he would be, for a backup defensive tackle, B.J. Hill, with the Giants. And B.J. Hill has 5.5 sacks this year. And I think he's a guy that can kind of just slide in there and give you a lot of what Larry Ogunjobi gave you. The worry there is the depth part of it and the rotation, and now you're going to have to spell B.J. Hill with some guys that you know maybe haven't gotten that much playing time. But it's the Hendrickson thing is huge, because that's this defense, as good as the corners are, it runs through that defensive line. They've been terrific. Even the edge guys, Hendrickson and Hubbard, have been great against the run, and they're great at getting pressure. I mean, this team just blew their sack total from last year. They tripled their sack total from last year. They've been really, really good at getting after the quarterbacks. But the question is, how much are they going to have to get after the quarterback on Saturday? Because it feels like this could be a Derrick Henry game.
Jay, last thing for you here. As you look at this matchup, and we've talked about the receivers, but just T. Higgins and what he brings to the table for this Bengals group, his growth from year one to year two, what have you seen out of T. Higgins, and what kind of a factor do you think he could be in this game for Cincinnati coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's a T. Higgins game, actually. The way that this offense has run, it's kind of guys, it rotates. And Jamar Chase has had his games, and Tyler Boyd had a good game against the Raiders, and T. Higgins was really kind of lost in that Raiders game. He had a couple drops, didn't really get on the same page with Joe Burrow on a couple throws, and typically when that happens, he comes back strong. This offseason, my partner on the beat, Paul Daner, and I talked to a bunch of players and coaches and scouts in the building, and we asked them, who is the player most likely to make a huge jump this year? It could be a B-level player going to an A, or it could be a D-level player going to a B. So, and it was almost unanimous that it was going to be T. Higgins. He totally reworked his body from his rookie year. He came back just looking like this massive freak. And he was slowed early by a shoulder injury. And he admitted that until about mid-season, it bothered him. He was still really cautious with that shoulder. And then around mid-season, we saw him have 3 or 4 huge games in a row and really take off. And I do think that the Titans are going to throw a lot I think they've learned from other teams' mistakes in trying to single Jamar, and I think they're going to throw a lot of coverage at Jamar, and this sets up to be a big T. Higgins game.
Jay Morrison from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Jay, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning. Looking forward to this one coming up on Saturday. Should be a good one.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Jay Morrison, who covers Bengals for The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check out our Two-Tone Blue at 8 every day this week at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the Bengals when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, streaming live here on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are coming to you live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Jets tomorrow night coming up at Bridgestone Arena. Speaking of the Predators, going to be joined to begin the 9 o'clock hour by Mikhail Granlund. Looking forward to that. Preds with another tough loss last night to Vancouver. Looking forward to having Mikhail Granlund on the show to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Jay Morrison from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. What do you think of what Jay had to say there, that maybe this could be a T. Higgins-type game for Cincinnati heading into this matchup? By the way, T. Higgins this year in just 14 games, 74 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So, as we know, it's not just the Jamar Chase show for the Bengals. They got a pretty good player in T. Higgins and a pretty good player in Tyler Boyd as well at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a heck of a group, and I think it's a great point by Jay, because that was definitely a Jamar Chase game against the Raiders. I mean, Jamar Chase is, to me, he's a different level of talent, and I think that's going to play out in the next few years. But T. Higgins is a number one receiver, quality receiver, which is real nice to have that as your number two receiver. So it makes sense what he's saying, that that the Titans, I would have to think, look, there's going to be some times I do wonder, like, how much, I mean, there's going to be so much written and talked about the whole Fulton Chase thing. I know that we got something, in fact, Jay has something coming, by the way. So let me preview that for Jay this week. There's going to be a lot of talk about that, but the fact is, those two have been playing on same teams or against each other, like, since they were kids. You know, they went to high school together. So I do wonder, I mean, does that mean that that Fulton can cover him on a big play? I got to think it's, maybe it gives you a little more comfort if you're Mike Vrabel or Shane Bowen. Like, there's no one who possibly knows him better, and there's no way he's going to be intimidated by him. Jamar Chase is such a talent that there are corners in this league who will be intimidated by him. Christian Fulton is not that. He won't be. I'm sure Christian Fulton also knows how good he is. But I do wonder if there's a little more confidence in, at times, letting that be the matchup, you know, than maybe some other people would do. I don't know. That's an interesting question. But I still, even that said, of course, the Titans, it'll be different coverages, plenty of cover three and zone stuff, and probably a fair amount of coverage devoted to Chase. And seems like Higgins could be a guy who benefits from that. I mean, all three of those guys are going to make plays, you know, if the Titans pass rush can't affect things a fair amount.
It was interesting to hear Jay Morrison talk about, you know, Joe Mixon in this offense and how, you know, he's not been used quite as much coming down the stretch here. I mean, you look at some of the numbers that Burrow has put up coming down the stretch. I mean, it's pretty absurd what he was able to do, you know, the last few games of the regular season. Played well again against the Raiders in the first round of the playoffs. You know, Joe Mixon, he ran for 1,200 yards back there, so that's something that you've got to account for if you're the Titans. But, you know, watching them play the last couple of weeks and then hearing Jay talk there, I do agree. Like, it seems like he became a little bit less of a factor in their offense coming down the stretch. That doesn't mean that'll be the case coming up on Saturday. But if you're the Titans, I mean, you feel great about your rush defense anyway. I mean, I think the number one priority, obviously, is trying to find a way to get after Joe Burrow. But it was interesting to hear them, you know, kind of he brought up the 49er game for the Bengals of that drive that got stalled after two runs to Joe Mixon. And basically after that, he didn't get used quite as much from Zach Taylor and company. I'm interested to see if they stick to that formula coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, ultimately, I think they have to have balance and they need something from him. And he's good. He's really good. So he's good in the passing game too. So I just feel like he's a little bit underrated on the outside. It doesn't mean that that's how the Titans look at it. But you got to keep him in mind. I mean, he's good enough to hurt you. Interesting point by Jay on the red zone, situation there with him. And the fact that they just haven't been able to, to be as effective in the red zone. I mean, that's going to be a huge part of any game. Turnovers, red zone, huge part of any game. The Bengals, they're not great. I mean, they're 59% in red zone offense. That's 17th in the league. They're 72% in goal to go offense. That's 18th in the league. By comparison, Titans are 64% fifth in red zone. The Titans are number one in goal-to-go offense, 87.5%. And if you want to flip it around, both of them are very good red zone defense teams. I shouldn't say that. It's some of these stats are like you just have to take them with a grain of salt. The Bengals' red zone D is 18th, 60.3%. Their goal-to-go D, however, is 59%, and that's second in the league. So make of that what you will. But the red zone O, not great, and that's a big hope for the Titans. Keep it in front of you. Don't give up the big play that puts 6 points on the board. And then once they get in inside the 20, then you make them bring the kicker out.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in says, I have a feeling the Bengals' biggest weapon this week is C.J. Uzoma, who had a big game last week in the passing game for the Bengals as well. Let me just go on and throw this out there. If their biggest weapon is Uzoma this week, that's probably a pretty big win for the Titans.
Yeah, unless he can go for like 15 catches for 250 and 3 touchdowns.
Right. And look, I'm not trying to disrespect him there because I think he's a good player.
No, he's good.
But
yeah,
if that's your biggest weapon with the passing game this week, that means the Titans have probably done a pretty good job.
Exactly. But he is somebody who, it's a heck of a group. It really is. At every spot, take into account 3 receivers, a running back, a tight end, and a quarterback. How many teams in the NFL are better with that entire group than the Bengals are?
Yeah, I mean, I think about, the previous version of the Bucs when they were healthy and Antonio Brown was there, probably make a pretty good argument. I mean, there's a very short list of teams, to your point. I mean, think about the teams left in the playoffs. Like, obviously Kansas City, but it's really just it's Hill and Kelce that you're really worried about, catching the ball there. They've got other guys, but it's Hill and Kelce who are the main two. Well, they have Mahomes as well. There's some guy named Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball.
Well, that's why I think the Packers would be in this discussion too, just because of Adams, Rodgers, the backs, good backs.
Yeah.
Shoot, the Rams, now that Akers is back. I mean, like, everybody here left has good groups, but the Bengals don't have, the Bengals have at all 6 of those spots, they've got a good player, and that's not true of everybody else.
Yeah.
They may have the best, they don't have an obvious weak spot in any of those 6 spots, like I think every other team in the playoffs does.
Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game with special guest Preds forward Michael McCarron and defenseman Mark Borowiecki. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and on Twitter as well. Be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. When we come back, We'll get your the temperature of the Titans fan base. What's your confidence level in Ryan Tannehill heading into this matchup against Cincinnati? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I would say it's not real. As much as I like the Tennessee Titans and they're the number one seed, I think there's just too many different deficiencies with this football team to believe that they're going to win a Super Bowl. And the best time for them to win a Super Bowl would be this year. But when I look at the NFC, I think the NFC has a couple better teams than the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill, not real. 2 years remaining left on his contract, guys. There are a lot of teams better positioned to come out of that division. I don't see it with him. And I like him. I think he's a marginal quarterback. I just don't see him prevailing in this situation.
I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think good gets it done anymore. Unless you catch, like, you Nick Foles, all-time performance, but you're going to bank on that on a guy? I think you need a great quarterback nowadays. There's a reason he was eighth on your list, because he's, like, you put Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or one of the guys toward the top of the list, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, Titans can win. I'm going to say no, not all right. Real.
So that was Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max discussing the Titans, specifically Ryan Tannehill of the Titans, heading into this postseason run on their show. Not much confidence displayed by those three in Ryan Tannehill. As we know, noted quarterback expert Keyshawn Johnson, who loves him some Cam Newton on the program. You know, maybe Cam's still in his top 10. Who knows? I have to ask Keyshawn at that point. Interesting comments made about Ryan Tannehill. I don't think the root and the heart of what they said is that controversial nationwide. I think if you would ask the large majority of people to take a straw poll of quarterbacks that are remaining in the playoffs, my guess is most people say that Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo, some combination of the two, are probably the ones that are at the bottom of their list based on the quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs. So, Joe Rexrode, my question to you is, what did you make of those comments by Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max? And what is your confidence level in Ryan Tannehill heading into the playoffs beginning on Saturday against Cincinnati?
Those guys are so wrong. Ryan Tannehill is absolutely the best quarterback remaining in the playoffs. Now, Jared, I want you to take that snippet. You could make 2 hours out of that, Jared. You could make 2 hours out of that right there. Go, boom. I love Tannehill. He's perfect. He is absolutely infallible. He's not going to have an incompletion in the playoffs. Now, look, in all seriousness, if you want to rank them, I would put Tannehill I would put him seventh of the eight remaining quarterbacks. And I know, you know, Burrow's young, but Burrow is good. Some people might quibble with that and talk Stafford and Tannehill a little bit. But I think I'd put him seventh with Garoppolo eighth. So if we're just going by QB, then I agree. I don't like the Titans' chances. Look, I think most people picking against the Titans are pointing exactly right there at number 17 with their reasoning. And again, I can't sit here and say, you are so wrong. You are totally off base. There were plays to be made last year against the Ravens that he didn't make. So, and that's what I expect. I expect probably Saturday, but if they get past Saturday, then certainly beyond that, there to be some situations where it's very simple and it's you've got to make a play right now. It's on you. It's on you to make the right pre-snap read and avoid rush and fire it in there accurately and maybe into a really small space. We'll see if he can do it. I can't look at all he's done in Nashville and believe that there's no way he can do it. I think Ryan Tannehill can do it. Does that mean I believe in him? I believe in him, Jared. I believe in him. He's gonna. No, I mean, I can't just toss him aside and based on all the evidence, all that we've seen, and think that there's no chance. I think there's a decent chance that he does enough for this team to win Saturday and maybe beyond that.
Well, I don't think there's any question that this is a pretty massive postseason for Ryan Tannehill. Like, they need him to be at his best I think, in order for them to have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. It's great to have Derrick Henry back, and we've talked about that. I think in order for this team to really be a Super Bowl contender, they needed Derrick Henry back, and they need him to be back and close to what he's looked like before. But to your point, I mean, there is going to come, if you hang around long enough in the playoffs, there's going to be to come a moment or two where you just need your quarterback to make a play for you. I mean, you need him to make a big throw. You need him to make a big-time conversion, maybe on third down with his legs, which we've seen Tannehill do. I mean, there's going to be, if the Titans are going to make a deep run this year, there's going to be a couple of moments that come about where Ryan Tannehill is going to have to do some special things. Can he do that? Yeah, I think he can. I think we've seen him do that. I mean, you know, I know it's the Houston Texans, so it's a much different discussion. I thought the play where he escapes, makes a big throw on the run, think about what that game could have looked like if Tannehill doesn't make that play. It doesn't necessarily have to be something like that. Maybe it's a tight window throw on third and seven on the sideline. Maybe it's, you know, taking off and running on a QB read and picking up a first down late in the game. I don't know what it's going to look like, but he's going to have to play well if the Titans have a chance to make a deep run in the playoffs. And, you know, we've talked a lot about his stats a couple of years ago against the Ravens and the Patriots, and we've talked about that a lot. There are people that just look at the box score and they say, all right, well, it was Derrick Henry winning those games. And Derrick Henry was sensational in those games, and I'm not taking anything away from him. But Tannehill made some big plays in those games. He was not good enough last year against Baltimore in the playoffs. They need him to have his best postseason that he's had in a Titans uniform this year. I don't think there's any question about that in order for them to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. They're not going to win or even get to the Super Bowl if he doesn't play at his best level. I think the where you'd find some disagreement, and I would disagree with like a Keyshawn, for example, where you'd find disagreement is what is that best level and how much does that translate to success for the Titans? I say his best level that we've seen means success for the Titans. Of course, there's other factors there. You know, we're expecting Derrick Henry to be playing and look like Derrick Henry, and they're healthier, and the defense, the pass rush, there's a lot to this. Again, Tom Brady last year made some big plays. If I'm listing the reasons they won it all last year, I am quickly and easily starting with the pass rush. That and there's a lot of champions over the years that have had. But we were talking earlier about the coaches quarterback thing, and someone brought up another good one, which was Tom Coughlin with Eli Manning. And Eli Manning, who is going to be in the Hall of Fame, was never, I don't think at any point in his career, probably, was he ever a top five QB in the league? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was very good, but he wasn't great. He wasn't Peyton. He wasn't an overwhelmingly dominant quarterback, but their pass rush is why they beat Brady, you know, and it's some big plays. So there's just always a lot more to it than this. But Ryan Tannehill at his peak, yeah. I mean, I think that's Ryan Tannehill not turning the ball over, making big throws that we've seen him make a lot. With everything else that we think this team is going to have put together, is good enough. It's good enough to win in the postseason.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, man. I'd be curious to see what the last week was that he had all of his players, because I've been saying it, and I've screamed at Jared all year on it too, because it makes me so mad him sitting here ripping this guy, because I'm like, any time, I don't even think he's had all of his players as far as AJ, Julio, and Derek, and a, you know, healthy line since like week 4 or 5. I could be wrong on that, but look what he's done without him. If you just give him somebody else to look, I'm not saying Tannehill's a game buster, or that we're going to remember him in 20 years and go, that dude was fantastic. But I can remember him and go, if he had a little bit of time, he would shred you. And that's what I feel like Tannehill is. He's got a huge arm. I mean, huge arm. He's accurate as long as he has a little bit of time. I would never say he could do it by himself, but I'd be curious to know when the last time he had everybody together was. And I feel very confident. If we got everybody this week, I feel very confident in him.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, you know, The game that comes to mind where everybody was there for the most part, maybe not on the line of scrimmage, but skill position-wise, was there for the most part and was healthy, was the Kansas City game, and they looked pretty good offensively in that game. Now, Kansas City's defense at the time was not good, and they've done almost a total 180 from that point. So there's different factors that are into it. But I think to Adam's point, what was it, the next week where Henry got hurt against Indy and he played the whole game on a broken foot? Like, I think the last time everybody was in there from a skill position standpoint and was healthy was probably the Kansas City game.
Yeah, because didn't Julio Jones – I think Julio Jones was not available at the end of the Kansas City game, right? So he then went out of the lineup there. So I think that's right. And, again, I want to say that the total plays combined with the three of them together is only like 100-something. So, so look, that's a very fair point to bring up. And I think if you want to talk about whether it's Jared or just other people who are convinced that, you know, that Tannehill either can't get it done or, you know, just has been terrible this year. Now, again, like if you can't have this discussion and acknowledge, it's funny because I'm going back again. I said it yesterday. I look back at, some stuff from last year and covering those games, and it's brought up a lot how good the pass protection was. We brought it up. We had segments on the show last fall for sure. About the pass protection, how good it was. We talked about that quite a bit. So, like, if you can't have this discussion about Tannehill this year and acknowledge the major difference in pass protection, which some people have somehow tried to, like, some of the weirdest arguing I've ever heard, like, no one pass blocks well. Like already it's like, what are we even talking about here? But at the same time, I think it's absolutely fair, even if all the conditions are in place and Julio's there and AJ's there, the pass protection's good and all that. I don't know that Tannehill's gonna, still make these plays. The pressure is very high. It's a different level of pressure. I do think you go to back to the New England game. He made a couple of big completions late that basically killed the clock. The Patriots end up getting it deep in their own end at the very end. Some passes in the Baltimore. The first half at Kansas City, he was almost perfect. Then he wasn't, though. And the Chiefs got stops. They stopped Derrick Henry. They stopped the offense. He had some big time. So it's like he's been in these situations and has played well, but can he put together a full game? And if he is forced to do more carrying of the team, can he do that? I don't know.
We'll continue the conversation on Ryan Tannehill when we come back. What's your confidence level in the Titans quarterback heading into this postseason? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal on the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got Mikal Granlund coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour from the Nashville Predators. Looking forward to that conversation. Right now, talking Ryan Tannehill, taking your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Tommy, who wants to weigh in. Tommy, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks for the call. I don't really understand why people don't believe in Ryan. This year he's taken our team to the number one seed, and we've had more injuries than any team ever. He's led the league in passer rating. He's led the league in yards per pass. He's led the league in fourth quarter comebacks. He's led the league in game-winning drives. He's got an AFC championship game. He's won the division, and he's been here less than 3 years. I don't understand why people don't believe in him. Hey. With Julio and A.J. Brown, he's fixing to go on a tear. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I like it. Thanks for the call, Tommy. I mean, look, to Tommy's point, you lay out the accomplishments since he's been here and the wins that the Titans have had, it's pretty darn good. Now, that doesn't take away from some of the bad moments he's had this year. There have been some turnovers that have just been unacceptable this year. But I think the thing you feel best about is, to Tommy's point, you're healthier now. But number two, I think Tannehill's been pretty darn good the last 10 quarters of, closing out the regular season. So maybe he's playing his best football at the right time. Feel pretty good about that if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with what Tommy said, but again, if you're a Tana hater, and there are, you know, a fair amount, I mean, unless you're an absolute Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whatever, in a market, there's going to be people who question a quarterback, because if your quarterback isn't at that level of quarterback, everybody wants that quarterback, you know, and that's not what Tannehill is. But the people who wanted to track from him would listen to all those achievements that Tommy just laid out and said, well, no, but those are Derrick Henry's achievements, which I don't agree with. I think that they're a good partnership. And it's just, and look, even this gets into like the too much credit, too much blame for a quarterback thing anyway, that I think even with the great ones, if you put some of these guys in really bad situations, if they don't have some of the players around them, they don't have protection, ability to stand in the pocket and look around the field, they don't have receivers, or they don't even have a defense that can make things easier on them and give them their team a chance to win, well, then they don't win. Joe Montana was a great quarterback, one of the best ever. There's a lot of elements around Joe Montana that helped him be a great quarterback too. And it really is true of anyone who has that kind of success in this league.
They're doing the confidence list in quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs on Get Up right now. Mike Greenberg has Tannehill at number 7, Garoppolo at number 8, the only quarterback behind him. Brady at 1, Josh Allen at 2, Rodgers at 3, and Mahomes at 4. How about that one?
Whoa. Greenberg has Mahomes at 4?
He's got Mahomes at 4, and he's got Josh Allen at 2 and Rodgers at 3. I can't really argue with the Brady thing. Pretty good.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think you could make a case to put Rodgers or Mahomes right now up ahead of him, but yeah, that's fine. Huh, interesting. And Greenberg, of course, has been, I mean, he had probably the most impassioned Ryan Tannehill is disrespected rant ever.
Yeah, so he was the most disrespected player in American sports.
Yeah, yeah. But look, I mean, the only way that Tannehill, if you're going to just rank the quarterbacks in this remaining field, I mean, I guess you could argue like Burrow is still young, or you could argue Stafford, but no, I mean, I'm putting Burrow ahead of him. I'm putting Stafford ahead of him too. I mean, it's, you know, that's tough sledding. Most of the guys on that list are the top guys, and which is why other teams are here. It's going to be really interesting with Tannehill because he knows all this stuff. He gets asked this stuff every week. He knows what people say. And he knows what you were saying yesterday, which is, you know, if they do win, and people will find a way to make Tannehill a passenger, but he won't, he can't be a passenger and this team win. And again, he wasn't 2 years ago either, even though Derrick Henry had one of the most dominant runs we've seen a running back have. He still wasn't a passenger. You can't, there may be too much credit and blame for a quarterback, but man, you still have to be the quarterback at times. And even some of the worst we've seen win Super Bowls or get to Super Bowls have had to make plays in some key moments.
It's time to sound the alarm and go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Indy Ben on the text line texting in.
Oh, my goodness.
Saying this game against the Bengals will come down to who gets the lead early. Tannehill is not the type of quarterback that gets you back in games when the pressure is on him and the passing game has to come from behind. He's at his best when they're in front and able to utilize the play action and running game. This coming from our good friend Indy Ben, who's been a little quiet as of late on the text line. He has returned today here to the program.
Does Indy Ben have any comment on recent developments with the Indianapolis professional football team?
Not as of yet. I haven't seen any.
Indy Ben's going to ease into this and talk Titans and rip Tannehill a little bit. All right, I get it. Our good friend Dennis says Tannehill's not elite, definitely good enough to possibly win a Super Bowl. Confidence level 7.5 out of 10. Liam says we haven't really seen him step up when it counts the most, but to be fair, the sample size is small. I mean, I disagree with that. I agree with it last year. I don't agree that in his time as the starting quarterback of this team that he hasn't stepped up in some really big moments, including late drives, including drives where they had their third down back on the field instead of Derrick Henry. He's done quite a bit. I think some people are missing some of that. It doesn't guarantee that he will do it here. And again, anybody who wants to, you know, they were missing Corey Davis and they had stuff going on last year. and it's Khalif Raymond he's throwing over the middle to. But hey, AJ Brown was open, man. I mean, like you got to see that and hit that pass.
Logan on the text line says, we don't need Tannehill to be Patrick Mahomes. Our team isn't built like that. Just no interceptions and we'll be fine. In my 13 years of my childhood, the Titans couldn't find a quarterback. I'll take Tannehill every single day of the week. It's coming from Logan on the text line.
Yeah, it's also like in context. I mean, obviously in the context of, you know, your franchise history at the position and things like that. But it's just, look, for the most part, everyone wants a Rodgers, a Brady, a Mahomes. Most, you know, most franchises get one of those. Every once in a while, Indy Ben, you get a franchise that gets a couple of them in a row. You shouldn't count on that. Or Robbie, you get, go from Favre to Rodgers. But
well, Jordan Love's next. Part,
yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh, it's about time, Pack Nation. but look, there's plenty of examples of quarterbacks around Tannehill quality and teams having a lot of success. Oh, by the way, including this team, which went 12-5 this year, is the number one seed, won the division for the second year in a row, et cetera, et cetera.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators forward Mykhail Granlund. We'll get his thoughts on the game last night and how the team tries to bounce back coming up tomorrow against Winnipeg. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.